Ted Williams made a reappearance this week, though not within the confines of Fenway Park. A roving reporter in Columbus, Ohio, heard and recorded the voice of a homeless man, so named, a voice from heaven, or at least from beyond the normal ranges of human speech. What a voice, said all. Is there anything quite as personal as one's voice? A fingerprint, a birth date, a manner of laughter, all these are quite personal, but not quite as personal as one's voice. I have a friend, a colleague in ministry who has endured a stroke. His voice, his pulpit voice, is so precious and so personally his, so central and so meaningful to so many that I feared greatly it might have gone, but I am told his voice perseveres. What a voice. Is there anything quite as personal? As we age, we do notice other unique features of our being, ways peculiarly our own. Our manner of grieving is one of these. We all ride the same waves in grief, the waves of denial and anger and acceptance, the waves of remembrance and thanksgiving and affirmation. But we surf the waves in our own very particular way with our own voice. What a voice. Is there anything quite as personal as a voice? Will you permit me to say something very personal, speaking of the personal character of one's voice? As we age, we take notice of quite unique features of our being, ways of being particularly our own. Our manner of dying is often one of those. It is a signature, our very signature. The early Methodists, as David Hempton reminded us, placed great store and stock in the manner of dying. Holy living, yes, but holy dying too. They offered no recipe. To the contrary, they saw and knew the utterly personal voice, like the silver swans, which resounds like a steeple bell in the personal way we die. Such a voice. Hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news offered us today. The voice of heaven is known in Jesus, a voice of one loved, of one who loves, of one who teaches love, of one whose self-offering is love. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Here is the divine signature, the divine fingerprint, the divine birth date, the divine manner of laughter, the divine voice, the voice from heaven which rings out today, my beloved Son. Here too is the divine signature, the divine way of grieving, the divine way of dying, the divine voice, the voice from heaven which rings out today, my beloved Son. Is there anything more personal than that voice? St. Matthew implores us to hear in the way he rewrites the story. Matthew wrote in 85 CE, updating and changing and developing what Mark wrote in 70 CE. There is such a power and beauty in watching the faithful creative courage by which the New Testament writers adjust the preaching of the gospel, each to their own time and place. In our reading today, John the Baptist is clearly demoted, lowered, but retained to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is the actor in the drama whose movement up out of the water is immediate. We are forcefully told that the dove-like spirit is unmistakably the Spirit of God. The voice from heaven speaks to us, this is my beloved. Mark and Luke, Matthew implies, may have the words right, but they lack the volume and the verve, my beloved Son. May we hear the voice from heaven, rippling in the river waters of the Jordan, and in the mystery of creation. May we hear the voice of heaven, carried along in the career of Christ, resounding in the heart and the conscience, and in the history of the community of faith. Creation and mystery, conscience and history. Creation and mystery, conscience and history. Are you searching for faith, longing for faith, growing in faith? Then hear a voice from heaven in creation and in conscience. The psalmist says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out to all the world, and their words to the end of the earth." Listen to the mystery of creation. 13 billion years ago, something happened. An infinitesimal nothing exploded into an immeasurable something 13 billion years ago. Since then, the universe has continued to expand and cool down like many a middle-aged fellow. Our world is getting bigger and a little slower. The farther out in space we look, the farther back in time we see. Think quasar, redshift, black hole. The universe has neither a center nor an edge. 4.6 billion years ago, our neighborhood solar system came to be with carbon, oxygen, silicon, and iron. Gravity had something to do with it, pulling together gas and dust. Nuclear reactions, too, had something to do with it. 3.8 billion years ago, our beloved Mother Earth, within the aforementioned solar system, cooled enough, just enough, so that a single cell of life emerged. 3 billion years ago, the process of photosynthesis, and hence an increase in Earth's oxygen, developed. 2 billion years ago, a billion years of photosynthesis in motion later, the Earth was full of the glory of oxygen. 0.5 billion years ago, 500 million years ago, that is, actually to be precise, 540 million years ago, there occurred the so-called Cambrian explosion, a veritable plethora, cornucopia, flood tide, and pleroma of life forms, including a personal favorite of mine, trilobites. 0.25 billion years ago, or to be exact, about 240 million years ago, great dinosaurs populated the Earth. 0.125 billion years ago, or more exactly, 65 million years ago, these selfsame dinosaurs, kings of the Earth, were summarily and totally extinguished, perhaps by a comet hitting the Earth. But the disappearance of the dinosaurs made space for the appearance of other life forms. Good news. 4.5 million years ago, just yesterday in a way, your first ancestor appeared, a hominid. 100,000 years ago, just minutes ago, Homo sapiens appeared upon the Earth. 30,000 years ago, forms of cultural life, including art, creativity, agriculture, and weaponry, began slowly to develop. And 2,500 years ago, at its very beginnings, the Bible began to be composed and collected. One day, maybe this week, you may look down at your left hand, at two fingers there, and you may again, childlike, awake just to this, something, not nothing. Creation, the mystery of something, not nothing. A poetic New England voice said this more simply and more briefly. We thank Thornton Wilder for his brevity. We're in New England, so we shall remember his voice. You remember his play, and you remember the letter Jane Crowfoot got from her minister when she was sick. On the envelope it said, "To Jane Crowfoot, the Crowfoot Farm, Grover's Corners, Sutton County, New Hampshire, United States of America, continent of North America, Western Hemisphere, Earth, solar system, the universe, the mind of God. And they delivered it just the same. Creation, mystery. Our psalmist today says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all say glory." Listen to the history of conscience. We are not the first to find ourselves awestruck come Sunday singing glory. Our hearts are restless until they there find their rest. You are a part of the history of conscience, a long train of witnesses. In fact, we can carry the memory of Christian reflection in the model of a single day. Now, this is particular and playful. It's a day-long brief history of Christian theology. Conscience, history. Dawn. Jesus is crucified and risen. His gospel is preached by Paul. The synoptic gospels are written to preach the same gospel with the aid of his story, teachings, and deeds. Other letters are written to apply the gospel to the growth of the church. Morning. In response to the small Bible, Luke and the letters of Paul, of Marcion, a Roman Gnostic, the Christian Bible, 66 books, is assembled. John translates the preaching of the gospel into the idiom of Neoplatonic Gnostic thought. Late morning, Augustine of Hippo, converted from Manichaeism and Eastern Gnosticism, develops a full theological system relying largely on Paul in conflict with the British monk Pelagius. Both reformers and counter-reformers later rely on him. Noon. Thomas Aquinas in the 12th century constructs a medieval theological system, blending the basics of Aristotelian philosophy with the scripture and tradition of the church. Afternoon. The medieval synthesis begins to unravel under the influence of the early Renaissance and pre-Reformation. Late afternoon. The great reformers of Germany, Luther, France, Calvin, and England, Henry VIII and later John Wesley, shatter the Roman medieval synthesis on the basis of faith alone, scripture alone, and a return to Augustine and Paul. Evening. Post-Enlightenment modern theology reaches its zenith in the 19th and mid-20th century work of liberals, Schleiermacher, neo-Orthodox thinkers, Barth, and culminates in the great systematic theology of Paul Tillich. Dusk. Postmodern Christian theology, skeptical of universal systems and indebted to particular autobiographical witnesses, accentuates the varieties of religious experience and theological perspective. Black, Cone, Latino, Gutierrez, Asian, Koyama, feminist, Ruther, Canadian, Hall, other and all. You know, you are a part of a long history of conscientious reflection. The voice of conscience. Children know the voice of conscience, and so do we, with our train of predecessors. The voice of conscience to bring humility, to scorn laziness, to admit failure, mistake, and accident, to stand apart from religion at its worst, to stand apart from religion, its pride and sloth and falsehood, to stand apart from religion, its superstition, idolatry, and hypocrisy. A poetic New England voice said this more simply. We may thank Thornton's older brother Amos Wilder for his brevity. One said of him, "His poetic eye enabled him to see connections between the Bible and literature, the kingdom of God and modern ethics, religious experience, and contemporary symbols." Conscience, history. The voice from heaven in mystery and history. The voice from heaven in creation and conscience. By this voice, we are set upon a path that will set us apart. It is a path of love, joy and peace. It is a path of deep personal faith and active social involvement. It is a path of believing, belonging, and behaving. It is a path that moves from the self-centered to the centered self. It is a path of costly discipleship, not of cheap grace, a path of living for others through a religionless Christianity. It is a path of commitment, delight, and wonder. It is the path of salvation. Our age is the same as every age in this. The need is salvation, and the path is faith. We apply the gospel to ourselves this morning, dear friends, as a people who again in the last several hours have been confronted by the tragedy of violence. Our prayerful thoughts go out to those hurt and worse in Tucson, and for our part, again beginning this Lord's Day, we shall try this week to learn and to speak the language of love. We shall commit and commend ourselves to mimic the voice of heaven, however lispingly we shall do so. Let your words, let my words, let our words be words of encouragement, contrition, honest kindness, and kind honesty in public and in private. Behold the voice from whom we come and to whom our spirits shall return. Blessed by God, loved by God, held by God, known by God, meant for God, baptized for God. What a voice. A voice from heaven in creation and conscience, given for the healing of the earth, all of the earth. The voice from heaven is spread through the earth, in season and in out, in church and in out, in religion and out, in the city and in the country, on the dry land of experience and out in the River Jordan of faith. What a voice. 6 years ago, a friend and I stopped at a country book sale. He bought a volume or two of English history. I bought a 1934 edition of Marcel Proust's Remembrance of Things Past. And I've read a few pages every now and then ever since. 6 years later, this past week, I came upon page 768. And here is what I read. A voice sure of being heard and musical, because it was the command not only of authority to obedience, but of wisdom to happiness. A voice sure of being heard and musical, because it was the command not only of authority to obedience, but of wisdom to happiness. Amen.